like two.
Okay, here we go.
This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is made possible by you, the listener. SQPN is a podcast organization, a new media organization, but we totally depend on the generous gifts of our listeners. If you want to help us to continue making these programs, if you enjoy what we do and you want to help us out and help us pay for all the bills and the bandwidth and the websites, etc., please go over to sqpn.com/donate to find out how you can help. We thank you in advance for your support.
Who are you?
My name's Greg, okay? I'm a patient here, just like you. I'm really sorry to bother you, but I'm the one that was driving the car in the accident.
Oh. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, they patched me up pretty good. Look, I overheard you talking about how you saw a guy with a ball of fire.
And you think I'm crazy, too. Well, I did see it.
I know that you're not crazy.
You do?
Because I saw it, too.
Hello, bonjour, bienvenuti. What other languages can I use? There are some people from France in the chat room. That's amazing. Welcome to a new episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. We are recording this on Valentine's Day. It's a beautiful moment, I think, for a show like this, which is all about relationships. Joining me today, Inge Loots from Groningen, the Netherlands. Hi, Inge.
Hello.
It's wintry where you live.
Yeah, it's kind of powdery snow, a little bit sprinkling. Not too bad.
It's probably a lot warmer over there in Texas, isn't it, Shelley?
Actually, we've got kind of a cool spell right now. But for us, cool means a high in the low 60s and overnight lows in the upper 30s.
Oh, okay.
I want to move.
Lisa is also joining us from Texas.
I am. We've got a crystal blue sky today, so it is beautiful here.
We had snow in Amsterdam today. I had to go filming, and it was really cold. And Deborah, how is the weather where you live? Where do you live, actually, right now?
I'm in Nebraska right now.
Nebraska, very good.
The weather is a little chilly, but it's not terrible today. It's a little overcast for this Valentine's Day.
Excellent. Well, we are going to talk about what is actually the title of the episode? I just watched it, but I forgot what it was called. It was about the giant.
It's called Tiny.
Tiny, excellent. Well, of course, Tiny being the surname of the giant Anton. And we discover that he has two brothers, and their names also start with an A, Abraham and Andre. And if there are any secret meanings to those names, that kind of stuff, that's what we talk about here on the show. It's all the hidden layers, the things you might have missed or the things that we might have missed. And you can send us voice feedback to help us out and let us know what you have seen in the episode that we talk about. And speaking of feedback, we have some feedback from Taylor Massey. And let's listen.
Hello, my name is Taylor Massey. I'm calling in for The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Thank you so much for this amazing podcast. I've been rewatching season one of Once Upon a Time, and I've noticed so much more than before. I think it was because I had a different audio setting. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for the amazing podcast, and I hope to hear more. If I could contribute through Skype, please let me know. I would love to give my views and opinions. Maybe even help out with some of the spells and whatnot for when it comes to that, if there are any more spells we may come across. Anyway, please let me know. Thank you so much for the amazing podcast. Merry meet again.
Very cool, and thank you so much, Taylor Massey. Actually, she is right now in our chat room. When we record an episode, we're always also live on video. At least I am. Not the best panel member probably to look at, but we don't have cameras on the other side of the ocean right now. I'm in the Netherlands, and most of our panel is overseas, except for Inge. And it's always very fun if we can have listeners being there in the chat room. It just gives a whole immediacy that I really appreciate. And if you want to find out when we're doing a show live and you want to join us, just make sure that you're subscribed to our Twitter account, which is Once Upon a Time PC. So it's just Once Upon a Time and then PC, and that stands for podcast and not for personal computer. But anyway, you can stand for anything you want. But thank you very much. We really appreciate feedback. It's you can either send us an MP3 or you can go to the website, click on the little tab on the right side of the screen and leave us voice feedback like that. Our website, by the way, is onceuponatime.sqpn.com. So it's onceuponatime.sqpn.com, and that's where you can also find previous episodes if in case you're a new listener. And I know that we have a couple of people that have just discovered this podcast, and we're excited that you're part of the club. We always have a lot of fun recording this, and we hope you enjoy listening to it. So let's talk about Tiny, the episode. And as usual, I'm going to just make the rounds here and ask you for your first impressions. Was this a great episode, a good episode, an inspiring episode, a lousy episode? Did you fall asleep? Deborah, what about you?
My first initial thoughts were it was kind of a boring episode for me. But there's two things that I want to bring up that are little tiny details that really irk me.
Tiny and one details? Of them, tiny details?
Tiny details.
Tiny okay, details. Go ahead.
The first one was actually in the clip you just played at the opening was they're in the hospital and there's Belle and there's
Greg.
What's his name? Mendel.
Greg.
And there's a heart monitor. I'm like, whose heart monitor is going off? There's nobody hooked up to a heart monitor. And then we don't hear it anymore. And I'm like, well, did they die? Why don't we hear it? And I'm sorry. And I know that has nothing to do with the show at all. It's just one of those things that I'm like, this is ridiculous. Take that stupid heart monitor away.
Looks cool, though. It looks like a real hospital, you know.
Yeah, sounds like one, except there's nobody who needs a heart monitor in that room. The second thing that irks me, and this is actually has to do with one of the fairy tales, is the whole when they give Tiny the mushroom to shrink him, that's actually not the correct Alice in Wonderland thing.
I was wondering about that.
A cake.
It's actually to shrink. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the cake to grow, to get big, and it's drink me to shrink. So he needed to shrink him. If they were using the real Alice in Wonderland story, they would have had to give him a potion of some sort to shrink him.
Well, since
a mushroom on either side, one side makes you bigger and one side makes you smaller, and he doesn't know which one was which. There's a caterpillar sitting on the mushroom, and one side.
Yeah, I
put it in her skirt to. I haven't seen that movie in years.
But that was. I mean, she shrank when she did the drink me, and then she grew when she did the cookie and it was eat me. So,
well, you know, it's Regina. She just, has her own special way of performing magic. I thought it was funny that the piece of mushroom was blue and white, and I was immediately thinking of the Smurfs. I was like, this must be a Smurf mushroom.
It didn't even look like a mushroom. It looked like a cake.
Yeah, it looked like a piece of Smurf.
Yeah. It was
those little details.
Now, if they bring in the Smurfs, that's it. I'm done.
But you loved the Smurfs growing up.
I know.
I wouldn't mind if they jumped to Smurf. Anyway, Lisa, did you like it despite the Smurf mushroom?
It wasn't one of my favorites. It answered a lot of questions. It was a good story, but okay. The giant this time, I liked him better than last time. So I'll give him that credit. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll
didn't
see
hold
if
my it, interest.
We'll see if you still are have the same opinion at the end of our show, because sometimes we can discover some gems in there. Inga, what about you?
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled either. It's just a so-so episode, kind of filler, to set us up for the next episode.
Really?
And I was also a little bit irked by some details.
Okay, like what?
So if you go to the previous episode where Emma climbs the beanstalk, and then they find a skeleton of Jack with a sword that says Jack on it. Then that skeleton has a male pelvis, and we see here in this episode that Jack is actually female.
You study this show with a biology book?
Because I know how a male and female skeleton looks. because
you're surrounded by skeletons all the time.
Like, kind of a biology related study, so maybe that's
interesting.
Kind of,
wow,
I love it. That's a good catch.
Perhaps she had a twin brother and he died there. Who knows? I don't know. I thought that the bones were actually from the Tiny's brothers, but I guess they would be bigger.
Yeah.
Had it be. What about you, Shelley? What did you think of this episode?
I'm kind of middle of the road, like everyone else. Felt like a placeholder, something that was moving the story forward. It did give them the option of having beans and a way of perhaps returning, which I noticed causes just a little bit of angst between Snow and Charming, who, I have to say, one of my favorite parts was his real name is David. My real name. I loved that whole dialogue between the two of them running through the streets. What do you mean it's James? No. You know, my name's not James. Charming. No, that's the nickname I gave him. So what's your name? It's David. Your curse name? No, my real
name. My name.
And how many people were waiting for there to be a pebble and a slingshot? David and Goliath, and the giant.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I just kept waiting for the slingshot.
Oh, yeah. That would have been cool.
I didn't think about
that. My absolute favorite part was when Anton says, okay, where's Emma? If she tells me y'all are okay, we're good. The look on Snow's face, that actress, she just kind of babbles. She's sort of out of town.
It's like, how do I contain this crisis about to begin?
Yeah, whoops.
The look on her face.
And we're all the same age. Really, it's okay.
Well, I'm going to give a different opinion about this show. I loved it. I didn't expect anything of it because I'd already seen some quotes on or some people twittering about it and saying it was kind of so-so. And perhaps it because I had lowered expectations, but I really liked it. I liked the whole story arc of Anton. I loved just the whole setting up there in the giant's castle and seeing his brothers and his father. And then I think there are lots of little hidden things in here that point towards future developments. And I love it when they hide small indications in there and little clues that we can speculate about. So I was looking forward to this discussion. And well, let's start with that right now. Let's go through the different aspects of this particular episode. But first, I want to play a sound clip. This is in the beginning. This is the conversation between David and Mr. Gold, where Gold is taking off with Emma and what's his name?
Henry.
Henry is almost not on the show anymore. Did you notice that? He's like three phrases every episode. I don't know what's going on. And then there was this weird scene in the airplane where he's just eating a lot. And it's like, since when does he care
about
frosting?
Cinnabon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looked delicious. But
product placement.
How did they know about Cinnabon? Because in the hospital, they're only watching local storybook TV. They didn't seem to have any outside channels.
Is that some regional thing then? Because I'm from Europe, so I don't know what that is.
Oh,
so.
Cinnabon is a, yeah.
A what?
It's just one. It's in the mall.
Oh, okay.
It's a shopping huge, gigantic cinnamon chain. Roll with probably 3,000 pounds of butter.
Oh, it's
very good.
Anyway, perhaps he was trying to turn into a giant, just eating all that stuff. I felt it was like, I didn't understand.
I agree with Lisa. It's got to be product placement.
Well, that would be a lame product placement, really. It didn't work. Because I was like, is there a meaning to this? I just couldn't figure it out. Anyway.
I just thought it was funny because it's one of those, it's like saying, oh, is there a Starbucks? I mean, for us, it's you know, everybody kind of.
All right. Just one of those things that we just stare at the screen as Europeans and it's like, whatever. Anyway, they take off, of course, in search of Mr. Gold's son. And before they leave, this is what David tells Mr. Gold.
All right, Gold. You're going out there with my family. Just know if anything happens to him, I'll...
And you what? Cross the town line. And David Nolan will hunt me down in his animal rescue van.
I'll be devastated. This isn't a threat, it's a request. Take care of him.
I promise no harm will come to your family. After all, we have a deal.
I thought it was a very touching scene where David really doesn't want to make a threat and Gold seems to understand this and seems to respect it because, of course, he must understand the value of family and understand David's fear for or at least concern for both his daughter and his grandson. I liked it.
And what deal?
Well, I was just assuming that this referred to something in a previous episode that I forgot about. But is there something that we don't know about? Do you think this is, or was this something that was referred to in the past?
Apparently, there's a deal that Rumpelstiltskin will protect the Prince Charming family. So that was new to me.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's always been an element of stress between Charming and Snow and Rumpelstiltskin, and they've always had a very not really great relationship. They've used each other, and not always in a bad way, but for him to take him, I think Rumpelstiltskin is used to people threatening him and thinking that they're going to come after him, especially, you know, this last season.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Gold is the owner of the town, and everybody owes him money. And when you think about when we were first introduced to him, he was kind of a man to be feared, almost more so than Regina. So that was just a turning point, that they're working on Rumpelstiltskin's character and that road to redemption that we're always talking about. As he goes off in search of his son, David's just acknowledging, hey, you're taking my family. This is the world to me. This is everything to me.
And I felt it was almost as if he was like melting a little bit. I don't know if that's the right expression, but it's almost as if some of that harshness or that bitterness is starting to fade away. As soon as he's thinking about family matters. And I like that. I think it could also become his downfall, of course, because, you know, caring about someone in the bad magical world is something that makes you extremely vulnerable. And because it's ultimately love. And, well, you know, if you want to use bad magic, then love is the opposite. It's the polar opposite of that. But we'll have to see how that it develops. And we'll talk a little bit about Mr. Gold's strange behavior later on. What I noticed while playing this clip, and it's a kind of a side thing, but you hear birds in the background, like tiny little birds, which is weird because the entire episode, once they're outside, you can tell it's winter. It's like extremely cold and no leaves on the tree. So I don't know if that's some magic related to the fact that Snow is around.
Snow White. Snow White is much around.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's like,
but
perhaps,
you
something
know,
that, you know,
we have a, my mom has adopted an entire like flock around here, so it's always chirping.
But
do
they chirp like that in wintertime?
Yeah, actually, if you go outside right now, they're chirping right now.
Wow. Well, the birds seem to be kind of mute when it's winter over here. They don't make a sound. They just eat. They're trying to survive.
Well, maybe that's, you know, my mom feeds them cookies, so, you know.
Oh, I chirp for that. I chirp for that. Now, there are some things that I want to talk about, some details, and I don't know if they always mean something, but I just want to mention them just in case. When they are preparing to travel, I think that Emma says something about, you know, what to wear, and she's like, layers would be a good idea. I don't know if that has any. I hear the word layers. I'm thinking of layers, like several meaning layers of meaning, but perhaps not. Perhaps it's just about how to stay warm. But then you can see that there is a lot of red in those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is too much red to be a coincidence. Now, we had some color theories in the past on this panel, but what is the meaning of red?
Power.
Power, yes.
Well, it's Valentine's Day, so it could be, you know,
could be just
a
love.
Tie-in.
Yeah, perhaps. Although this episode, of course, aired before Valentine's Day, and it didn't really have a Valentine's Day motive, as far as I could tell. But that
no,
could be
and
it.
David was in. At first, I thought David was in a blue, but then later it looked a lot more like purple.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always associated purple with the magic, but purple is also a signal of royalty. So yeah, it could have just been a nod to the royalty, David being royalty.
Interesting.
Yeah, and isn't red also Emma's token color? So she had
that's
this bright
true.
Red jacket in the first season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. But now Henry also has red, and the like even the how do you call those things that you put on in the car to prevent you from flying out the window if you crash? Seatbelts. I've been working all day in the snow. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Like my brain is just melting. The seatbelts were red as well, and the steering wheel was red. It's like, wow.
The whole interior of the car was red.
Yeah. Why?
What a strange car.
It's of course the color of love and the color of, well, I don't know, relationships.
Power and love. But you remember, love is the most powerful magic. Mm-hmm. So. You know, we have red, it's the power color, and it's a love color. It could be
and
that.
Blood is red, blood is life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The only one who doesn't have red is Mr. Gold. And it seems like he's the only one without power in this episode. He seems to be losing his power. And when he, later on, when he hurts his hand, that's the first time we see red, and it's the color of blood. Yeah. And I was like, there has to be a connection there. They have to do this on purpose. It's... Perhaps
are we going there now? Because I got a lot to say about
that. Okay, let's go there. Let's go there now. Let's just completely throw chronology out of the window. Let's talk about it.
So Gold leaves. He walks across the town line and he looks at them and it is him. He's not mm-hmm. reversed to his cursed self or anything like that. But the farther he gets away from Storybrooke, he has no magic
mm-hmm.
at all. And so my first thought was, he's suffering from withdrawal, like when anytime you're addicted to something and you leave it. Remember Regina? Mm-hmm. She kept going to Archie and saying, "I'm trying hard, but it's really hard. It's very difficult not to use magic. It's so much a part of who I am. I'm used to doing everything with it." And so here's Gold. He's away from magic. He cannot use magic, and he's suffering. Like he's going. He's got the shakes. He's irritable. He's jittery. He's you know jumping on people. He's snapping. But then when he goes into the bathroom and he punches his hand mm-hmm. and he's hurt. It's probably the first time he's been physically hurt and feels pain.
True.
In what, hundreds of years. He waves his hand. He can't do the magic. And he realizes also he's vulnerable. He's 100% mm-hmm. vulnerable. He can be killed.
And you can tell on the plane that he's afraid. I mean, the final shot of the episode is like his eyes wide open, like, oh, we're gonna crash.
he's terrified for the first time. He does not have magic, and without magic, what is he? The town coward.
Yes, he's
a
weak.
Coward.
He's
and weak. We don't know his background. I expect there'll be a story about that. But has he been a coward all his life? Was he just the coward when he ran away from the ogre wars to save his own life? We don't know, but he has lived all these hundreds of years not being the coward, being the one in power, having magic to protect him, not having to really recognize himself or own up to himself. He hasn't had to be responsible to his own feelings and his own behavior because he can always control it.
Now, I, of course, there are many reasons that we could try to find for him losing his power. At first I thought it's just him being separated from his talisman when he goes through security and he has to put the scarf in the container for the x-ray machine and he almost faints. It's like, oh, that's my strength, you know, and he loses it. And from that moment on, he's never the same anymore. He starts to really, you know, lose his power. And perhaps his frustration is what leads him to, you know, being this aggressive in the toilet and almost destroying the container for the toilet paper, which is kind of a strange object to attack. But anyway, you can tell that he's like, he doesn't like it. And it's almost as if he has to learn to be vulnerable and to learn what it is literally to bleed.
He's out of control. And he's used to being a man in control, man with the power. So I saw it as both a frustration, that the pounding was a way to release that frustration of mm-hmm. not being in control, but then also the terror of realizing he's vulnerable, he can be hurt, the surprise at the pain, the mm-hmm. surprise at the blood. Well, I mean, he just wrapped it in a brown paper towel that you get in the bathroom.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. And the final scene in the airplane, I think, is highly symbolic as well, because we all feel a little bit of terror. If you're not used to flying, it's always a bit scary to step on a plane and where you're not in control, because it's a pilot who's flying this big thing, and you know you can't do anything. Or it's like being in a Italian taxi. It's like I'm terrified. I'm praying because you know this other guy is behind the wheel and he's not paying attention to the traffic on the road, I think. And so it's it it it, it And it ultimately, of course, is a question of, do you really have faith in the one who is in control? In this case, it's the pilot. And so I think in the company that he has around him with Emma and with Henry, does he have faith in them that they can help him find his son? I think he's still kind of coming to terms with that and struggling with it.
I also think... Okay. What also struck me is that kind of Henry was kind of teasing him. It must be hard to be all like other exactly like everybody else. And mm-hmm. so he was kind of feeding him into the fear. And then on top of that, he had to take off his scarf. And then you saw him slowly unwinding, unraveling. So I was wondering if Henry had something to do with it as well. Just maybe focusing him onto his weakness.
JMO in the chat room says, well, Mr. Gold didn't have magic for those 28 years. That's true. He's only just regained his power. So perhaps that's why he's so frustrated that he just gained it and now he's losing it already.
But he also didn't have his memory. So he didn't know he didn't have power because he didn't know he should have power.
Absolutely.
So technically, he did have power. He just didn't have magical powers.
Yeah, he had the power of manipulation, which is the same thing. You know, manipulating is also being in control and controlling other people's actions because you know them so well.
When he went through the metal detector and Emma said, he went, you know, to take off the scarf and he was all nervous. And Emma said, don't worry. He said, I'm afraid of losing my magic or my memory or something like that. And she said, don't worry, I won't let that happen. I almost for a few minutes, I thought, ooh, something we're going to see that she has another power. You know, like she's going to put her hand on him or, you know, I mean, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then nothing.
Well,
I thought that was a moment, and maybe it's more long term than just that instant that I was looking for. And maybe we'll see it develop that he has to rely on her and he's going to keep it together and find his son because of her. And so maybe that goes back to the trust. But when she said that, I thought, oh, that's, I like that.
I thought that too.
Who knows? That would be the icing on the cake. Speaking of which, JMO, earlier on, that was a lame transition. JMO also said a bit earlier in the chat room that Henry was never allowed to eat sweets by Regina. And that's probably why he's indulging so much in those in that sugary fat stuff. So who knows? We might see Henry by the end of this season having turned into a giant himself. If only there was a magic pill to become lean and mean again. Let's talk about Regina and her mother. Apparently, those two are in cahoots again. And but the thing is, Regina doesn't mention this to Snow White.
Regina, you're back. I know you think I'm responsible for poor Dr. Hopper's death.
He's alive.
What?
You were framed.
Who would do that?
Your mother. She's here.
That's not possible.
When we found a way back, so did she. We were wrong. And we're so sorry.
I know. But if Cora's here, then we're all in danger. Please, you have to let me see my son. I can protect him.
He's not here.
What?
Mr. Gold asked Emma to help him find his son. They left town about an hour ago with Henry.
And no one told me.
We didn't know where you were. And to be honest, Regina, I don't think Emma has to run anything by you.
No, I suppose she doesn't.
And that's where we see that anger is seeping back into Regina's heart, and you feel that she's back where she came from, back on the dark side of magic.
Yeah. I thought that Snow didn't have to stick it into her and say, I don't think Emma has to run anything by that. I think he could have left it at, we didn't know where you were.
That was a bit mean, yes.
There's another irking thing for me, is actually, you know, legally, Emma's kidnapped.
Yes,
Henry.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
I'm like, what do you mean she doesn't have to run anything? You're legally the guardian of this child. Yeah.
Well, but Snow is reasoning according to fairy tale rules, and it has been established that Regina is bad, and so you know, Regina is the evil stepmom. So I think in fairy tale land, this totally makes sense. There's different legislation, I think. We do see that Regina's weak spot is definitely her son and her love for her son. And that is what is exploited by Cora, who we only see very, very briefly in this episode.
Does anyone else think Regina was acting strange?
Yes.
Yes. I thought it was Cora at first.
I was like, as when she was there standing at a door and acting all surprised that Hopper lives and that Cora is in town. She knows that Hopper is not dead. And yes. She knows that Cora is there because we've seen them, the two of them, right. Last episode.
So but even if she didn't, let's just say, you know, if she was going to, she didn't know, she would have had a bigger reaction than that.
Yes.
I mean, so if you're going to fake, oh, I didn't know that. You don't just go, oh, wow. I mean, you have, I don't know, it was a little too subdued for Regina.
Yeah, for me.
It was very odd.
Yeah, your mom is here. You know, the one
you
see. Okay. Oh, okay. So I was like, this is not Regina. This is Cora acting as Regina.
But shouldn't they have revealed it?
Well, and then there was the quote that wasn't in the clip where Snow and David were talking and he says, how hard can it be to find a powerful sorceress in a small town? Boom, there's Regina. But is it Regina or is it Cora?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's another instance where you have Hook dropping a Hearts card. So that's, I think, a way for him to summon the Queen of Hearts. Mm-hmm. And who pops up?
Regina.
And I think that's...
But
so,
why would she pretend to be Regina? Because we've seen in the last episode that Regina actually is accepting her mother again, or at least she knows that her mother can help her get Henry back. So I don't know.
For other people in town, of course, there's a rumor.
To get information. That's true, because Cora can't just walk around as herself. But if she walks around as Regina, people talk to her.
So where's Regina? Mm-hmm.
Tied up somewhere.
That's what I was thinking. Stuck in that vault and behind the mirror again.
Who knows? Interesting. The scene also contains some info. Actually, this is later on. This is when they talk to Hook. We learn that there is actually a way to travel between lands with the ship. And the question is asked, and I think it's not for nothing, can it sail back? And Hook says, well, you know, you need a portal to travel between lands. I'm positive that this is all part of the big setup that they've been rolling out over the past few episodes where, you know, there are some people that want to go back to fairy tale land and the ship is able to bring them there, but it still needs a portal. And what do they talk about at the end of the episode? They talk about the bean and the power of the bean. So I think the bean is going to provide them with a portal. The ship is going to be what will bring back at least part of the people in Storybrooke to fairy tale land. And perhaps that's how the group gets split up, because some people, like Snow, they want to stay and other people want to go. I feel that there's going to be some way to kind of divide this community up into two groups again so that we can get some interaction in the third season. Something like that. Speaking of... Oh, no, that's later on. This is David. Let's see what...
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking back to the first episode where we met Hook. He used a bean then to travel to Neverland.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they used a bean in the lake to bring he and Cora to Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. The bean is what will open the portal to go back.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Let's talk about the giants. For the first time, we see Tiny, which we already know, of course, from what was it, Tallahassee, that episode. But we see his family as well, and I didn't know he had two brothers and a father. So Abraham is one of his brothers, and Andre is the other one. Now, I always look for meanings in names.
And Arlo.
Arlo is
Arlo.
Oldest brother.
Arlo is the older one.
Oh, I thought that was his father.
No.
The gray hair was deceptive.
Okay. Arlo. Interesting. So I didn't look up the meaning of Arlo. I did look at the meaning of Anton, because that's his real name. It means above praise. So it's someone who's highly praised. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, he's a good guy, ultimately. Abraham, of course, is interesting. That's a biblical name. I don't know if they really chose this on purpose, or whether they were just looking for cool first names so that they would all start with an A for some reason. So, but Abraham is, of course, the name that Abram gets from God himself. Abram in Hebrew means father. And when God changes his name to Abraham, it actually means something like father of many, which pertains to his mission to become the father of, you know, you remember that scene at the beach where God shows him the stars and it's like that is going to be your, you know, your children, your grandchildren. You're going to be a father of many. So that is the meaning of Abraham. Andre means brave and manly. That's how he behaves also.
But Andre in this, I got the impression there was a famous actor in The Princess Bride who was Andre the Giant. Wasn't he also a wrestler?
Oh, cool.
Yes, he was.
That's probably it.
And there were six giants, but we only caught four of the names. So we don't know what the names of the other two brothers were.
Were there
Abraham
six
was
brothers?
The one that was bickering with him and squashed the harp. And then, of course, Anton and Arlo was the oldest. And then Andre was only mentioned when they came in and said he's fallen.
Right. Okay, so well, that makes sense that Andre the Giant is an in-joke. I didn't know that.
I looked up Arlo on Wikipedia. And there are several origins. From Old English, it's a variation of Harlow. And it means a cairn of hill, and then it means also troops of army, so army hill. But okay. It could also be mean in Spanish barberry tree.
Interesting. Well, anyway, tall things, big things. Did you notice? I was laughing out loud when I saw this. That the giants are vegan.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought it was hilarious. They're sitting there. You see like an overview of the table, and it's all asparagus, bread, fruit, corn, prunes, kiwis. It's all totally vegan. And you know what's cool? When Tiny is taken by James and what's her name? Jack to the pub, to the human pub. What's the first thing in the shot? It's a big succulent pig.
Pig, yeah.
So it's meat. So they really play out that difference, that cultural difference. Like these giants are vegan and then the humans are meat eaters. I loved it. It was so funny.
Is that kind of a nod to what the giants say, that the humans are very aggressive and they are very peaceful? So that's also reflected in the food?
Probably. And of course, it's a great message to all the parents that are watching this with their kids. It's like, you see, you got to eat your veggies because that's going to make you very tall and strong. Like a giant.
The green giant.
Yeah.
Jolly green giant.
Mm-hmm. Now, we also get to see the harp, the magical harp from the original story of Jack and the Beanstalk. The original story says it's a magical harp, a golden harp that plays by itself. However, here it is brutally destroyed. Crushed in the hands of one of the brothers of Tiny. And of course, that is something that he remembers when he's in the pub and he hears that beautiful music. It's like, these human beings are so misunderstood. They have such nice things, like music and stuff and meat and beer, which is all true. I also love the scene between Ruby and Belle. Belle is, of course, she has no memory whatsoever. And Ruby is so caring, and I loved her coat. It was that big, like gray wolf type of coat.
Yes.
It was hilarious. Nice apartment, by the way. I think it's the first time that we see Ruby's apartment. It almost looks like something from a catalog of IKEA.
It's not in the apartment. It's in the hospital, right?
Oh, is that the hospital? That's like it. That's why it looks like something from IKEA. It's like, wow, that is so different from what I expected with Ruby. You kind of expect something dark and with leather and, you know, red stuff all over the place. But
scratched with posh.
Okay, it was the hospital. I've got some details about the hospital later on. Oh well, let's talk about that because we briefly go to the hospital where we see Mr. Mendel, and also Ruby gives a book to Belle, which is Jules Verne's Mysterious Island. I was like, there's got to be a meaning to that. Is that a Lost reference, you think?
Yes.
I didn't even watch Lost and I got that.
Yeah, that's not a Lost reference at the very end of the episode, but we come to that.
Okay, well, I was thinking that it could, of course, it can be a Lost reference, but I was also thinking about that ship that is mentioned that goes somewhere to a different reality. I was like, is an island going to be a place that we will see later on, a mysterious island where...
Didn't we have this conversation before the first season?
They were on an island and...
Yeah. Well,
I swear we've had this conversation before, but that could have
deja vu. You're in the Matrix.
Wasn't David reading the book in that episode about the 10 and 2 or 420? Was it 420? 820? What was the name of that episode?
It's almost as if
they were having coffee every day at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as if Ruby is trying to trigger Belle's memory by letting her read that. Don't you remember, you know, where you come from? Like a different reality, another island. I don't know. It was interesting. And I'm pretty sure that we'll see this again. Now, in the background, when we see Mr. Mendel, there are two posters on the wall. And again, this could just be set dressing or there could be a meaning. On the left side, we see a poster of a lion. A big lion, and underneath it says honor. When I see lion and I think of ABC/Disney, I'm thinking Lion King.
That's exactly my first thought. Thank you. I forgot about that. But yes, I had the exact same thought.
Is that just an in-joke or are we going to see lions in the future?
I heard people also referencing to ads or commercials in between the parts that there were after certain parts of this episode, there was a Jack and the Beanstalk commercial, yes. and there was another commercial.
Yeah, there's a movie coming out, Jack and the Giants or something, or Jack the Giant Killer, Giant Slayer.
Yeah,
yeah.
And my kids were like, "Is this the movie? Is this Once Upon a Time, or is this a commercial? Or you know?"
It's
and I thought
so
it was
confusing.
Great ad placement to put it right there, especially during this episode.
It's a very good target audience. If you like Once Upon a Time, you'll like those stories as well. There was another poster on the right side of the room, and it says germ theory, and it shows an old man. Now, of course, that has to be Louis Pasteur, and you know, that's where we get the pasteurized milk from. But the germ theory, of course, is interesting because when we see the poster, we also see Mr. Mendel. And so germ theory is all about infection, right? What's the source of infection?
Yeah.
And I was like, Mr. Mendel, in a way, is like a germ. He's like a foreign body. He's like a bacteria that has infiltrated this village. And he could infect everyone. I was like, that was almost too coincidental that it was in the same frame as the poster. It's like, are they trying to tell us something here? Is he going to be like a threat to the entire village? I think the current villagers think he is, and they want him to get out of town as soon as possible.
I really think that Mendel is going to be another fairy tale character. I really do.
Me too, yeah.
I think he's just going to be like Pinocchio, who we haven't seen for a long time. But he's going to be one of those that he belongs there. He just didn't know he belonged there.
I personally think that Mr. Mendel is from an entirely different type of reality. So not from fairy tale land, but they've alluded to there being other dimensions and other story realms. And I think
like the Frankenstein episode.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's why I think that Mendel is somehow originates from that that black and white world where Dr. Will also comes from. Because he's also Gregor Mendel. Don't tell me that's not taken from a scientist's name.
I don't know.
It's German.
Is it?
Sort of German, yeah.
But did you look that up? Is that a real scientist or?
Yes.
Mendel,
That's okay. The monk from the piece with a piece.
Oh, that's him. Of course. Yes, I forgot about that. Sorry. Again, brain melt. I'm infection. He could be from the Resident Evil franchise. You know, it's all about infection turning people into zombies. This might allude to the zombie season, which was a staple joke
The
Lost Makers.
The zombie apocalypse.
Let's talk about James, Prince Charming's brother. I was so excited to see him back. I mean, he's kind of the Han Solo alternative version of David.
No, Han Solo had a lot more class.
Yes, Han Solo had more class.
Don't insult Han Solo.
But it...
I was thinking evil twin, you know? It was really strange to see that actor in that role.
I think he did a great job. I was like...
Prince Charming and sweet and, you know, gentlemanly. And then
well, James is definitely charming someone, the girl. And
then he shows a lot of cleavage. I was like, no, I don't want to see that.
There was a lot of cleavage there, yes.
Little much.
But, you know, I have to say it, you know, Tiny didn't flinch. He did not once look down. He always looked her straight in the eye. So that's really, you can tell that he's above praise, this man. The girl is called Jacqueline. Of course, that's a joke referring to Jack and a Beanstalk. Mm-hmm. Jacob, of course, that's the origin of the name. It's a biblical name. Means supplanter or also may God protect. Well, the only thing she seems to protect is her self-interest. Of course, they are playing Tiny. And you can tell that, of course, is going to be the big reason why he is so angry with humans, because he's been betrayed. You kind of see that coming. It wasn't a big reveal, which was a bit of a...
No, you felt bad for him that he was so naive and he just wanted to be loved and accepted. And they saw that and just seized on him. It was so sad.
Yeah. Let's see David, of course. Now, seeing James, it again, for a lot of the people in Storybrooke, this is new, that David has a brother. And so you get the whole confusion about the name. I've got a little sound clip about that.
So let me get this straight. You got a twin brother?
Yeah.
Whose name is James?
Right.
Well, your name is James.
No, actually, it's not.
Charming, then?
No, that's the nickname I gave him.
Wait, hold on. What the hell is your name?
David.
Your cursed name?
My real name.
What, you're David James and Charming? Or David's like a middle name?
No, it's my name.
You know what? I'm going to call you whatever I damn well please. Is that okay?
Sure, Leroy.
You know, I bet you that this is how a lot of people feel if they've not seen the first season. They're like, oh, wait, Charming? No, James? No. What? David? Like Snow? Like what? Like all these fairy tale names. It can get very confusing, but at least we're not alone. Even the dwarves cannot really make sense of it anymore. Then we go to the airport. Galt loses his talisman for a while. He starts to lose strength. We've spoken at length about that. And then we go back to Fairytale Land. We see that giant goes into the pub. He sees the pig, drinks some beer, and listens to beautiful music and thinks, you know, those human beings aren't actually that bad. And then there's a short conversation again, and this is almost a repeat of an earlier conversation between Snow and David about going back. And it seems to me that, you know, again, it's setting up a separation. These two cannot be together for too long, because that seems to be the main characteristic of their relationships, that they're always separate and that they always find each other in the end. So there has to be a separation, and it seems to me that this is where they're starting to prepare us for that, because Snow doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to go back to Fairytale Land. She says, you know, home is where your family is. Whereas David seems to want to go back for some reason. Then we get the Smurf scene. Between and Tiny becomes big. I mean, I have to say that even though he seems to hate all those humans, he is very trusting when it comes to Regina. I mean, why isn't he just very distrustful, having been betrayed? I felt it was a little bit too fast for him to just take some strange food from a person that he doesn't know and then just eat it. It could have been poison. He could have turned into a Smurf. But anyway.
Did you say Regina?
Say again?
Did you say Regina? He trusted Regina?
Yeah, I think he did.
Oh, when she showed up and
gave
him the...
It's like,
oh,
here's a mushroom. You can be, I'm thinking, you know, big
I was
again.
Thinking of her, him taking it from Jack and... Sorry.
Oh, okay. No.
In real world.
Yeah. Oh, and it was a mushroom in the book. There were two sides to the mushroom that the caterpillar, and one did go big and one did go small.
Oh, okay.
It's in chapter five.
Okay, good. So that they did follow story. Mm-hmm. So, but I love all the references to Alice in Wonderland. Again,
it makes me wonder, do we get to see Alice soon?
That would be great.
I think they alluded to her.
Yeah, did Jack get the mushroom from Alice because of the Jabberwock reference?
Yeah.
I don't know. The color of the mushroom, I mean, those are Smurf colors, white and blue, but they're also the colors of at least the Disney version of Alice, the clothes that she's wearing. Then we go back to the Castle of the Giants, and there are sentry birds flying outside. The sentry birds do that. They alert the flock. At least one of the birds, I think, is on watch and then alerts the rest of the flock if there's any danger here. All the sentry birds are probably, you know, having that security function.
Like geese.
Probably. I guess so, yes. And then, everybody, I was like, how did they get that entire army up that huge beanstalk? That is quite something, and then they apparently are able to to shoot like fireballs. And how do you get that up there?
Yeah, that was also something that irked me. Wasn't the beanstalk enchanted? So Hook had to use special bracelets get up there, and the whole entire army and James they can just climb it.
Perhaps they
maybe
just
maybe Antone did it after.
Yeah, perhaps they enchanted it afterwards just to protect himself, because here it seemed that nobody knew where that beanstalk was, and it was Tiny that actually showed the location to his friends. And then of course. Then it's very simple. We understand that is why he's so mad. He has eaten the mushroom. He turns into a giant again in Storybrooke. And yes, that's what I wrote down here too. It's like we get this amazing, cool Godzilla scene where he walks into power lines and it's like the entire town has to be without internet for a while. And he just stomps around. I kind of was a bit... both the scenes in the castle and the Godzilla scenes looked very artificial. The castle, you can clearly tell by the focus, that it's a miniature. It's just a tiny little castle, and they just comp in the green screen people. And it's like, come on, guys, such a high profile series. You can't do that stuff anymore. We want better quality CGI. Come on. Use a little bit of magic. It's a bit. It was almost embarrassing, the quality of the lack of quality of the special effects. I like that Charming was willing to sacrifice himself to save the town. Again, it's that noble, you know, knight in shiny armor. I like that. It's, you know, again, let's make a deal. Let's save the others and just take my life.
Anton, how about we make a deal?
I don't make deals with humans.
Just hear me out. I'll surrender myself to you if you spare the lives of everyone in Storybrooke.
David, you can't do this.
If I don't, the whole town will suffer. I can't allow that. Well, what do you say?
Deal.
Yeah, deal, and then he takes a big leap and he makes a huge hole in the ground. Now, when we get to see that hole, I was like, how did he do that? It's a lot deeper than I think you could do as a giant.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
There's some
there was something
with that,
underneath
mathematically.
There, and he
And he turns back into just a tiny version of himself, as predicted by Regina. And this is not going to last long.
What good timing.
And he's just hanging. And it's a classic scene. I was like, wow, this is so cliche almost.
Yes.
Take my hand. No,
you know, I don't want to.
I don't trust you. Take it. Okay. Now we're friends.
But I guess it was supposed to give you that contrast between, you know, here's David versus what James did to him, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
I also found it a really Jesus moment by David, because he was not one who did something. He was innocent, and he was sacrificing himself save other people.
That's true. That is kind of the essence of true love. It's to give your life for those you love. That's the definition that Jesus gives of love. Of true love. I was thinking Jesus moment, him stretching out his hand to save Tiny. I was thinking of the scene in which St. Peter is drowning because he has to walk towards Jesus on the waters and is like, oh, I'm sinking. Take my hand. But anyway, I mean, it's almost unavoidable here that you have to have some kind of moment where Tiny learns to trust again. It's the classic story arc for these kind of problems. Anton, the episode of Tallahassee, we saw some bones. I thought it was his brother's, but actually, I think you're right. It's probably Jack. So, because she's fatally wounded during the attack.
Yeah, by a poisoned sword, by her own sword.
Oh, is that her own sword?
So she sticks with the poisoned sword in Arlo's leg or feet. Mm-hmm. Or,
yes.
And then he's ouch, and it's like a toothpick, picks it out and then grabs her, sticks her with it, and then impales her on the sword.
And then James is just horrible there. It's like, you know, I'm just taking care. I've got a kingdom to run. I'm sure you understand. Like, dude, really? Really? And what bad judgment from Jacqueline. I mean, she doesn't really pick the right guys, I guess, to get involved with.
It's clearly someone raised by King George, because that's exactly what King George would do as well.
Backstabbers.
Right. Yeah.
But it was tragic. And it's like, wow, is that all we get to see of Jacqueline? I almost felt that it was a bit too short of a role.
But she's such a big actress, so I think we will see her again.
You think
otherwise? They wouldn't hire such a prominent actress.
Is she
prominent? I didn't know her.
She's from Smallville, right?
She's from Smallville, from Superman series.
Oh, I didn't watch
and apparently she's just a very high profile actress in that series. Yeah, perhaps she might return. I don't know. Do we see her die?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, she's dead then.
Well,
that's the end.
See her faint. We don't know if she's really dead.
Well, that's what I
thought.
Was
we saw her bones.
Well,
that's Jack. Didn't they say in Tallahassee, that's Jack. Mm-hmm. That's what. You know.
Yeah, but not. But there could be a story that's still
Jack's
untold.
It wasn't a female skeleton.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Right,
that's the pelvis thing again. So it might not have been her.
But Emma took the sword. Emma had the poisoned sword because she could have killed Anton.
Yes.
In Tallahassee, and she chose not to.
Okay. Well, we'll see. It might just be a guest role, and then that's all there is. Contractually, they had to kill her so that she. then we get the final scene, or one of the final scenes, where we see that now what's his name? The older brother.
Arlo
gives the magical bean to Tiny, and is like, you need to find new land. That seems to be a recurrent theme in this episode. It's like you gotta trust that you will end up somewhere else where it's gonna be better. It's like hope, you know, a new land. And then ultimately he finds that around Storybrooke, and of course Tiny is a bit wary about trying to harvest new beans, because that might be exactly why he was brought to Storybrooke. That's what Regina needs.
Yeah, but it was more about him finding a new family.
True, of course. But why is it Regina or Cora who's after the beans? Why do they need the beans?
Cora.
To the portal.
Yeah, the portal, but to do what? To go back? Is that all?
To reign supreme like the emperor over the, you know, universe.
Like be the Empress of Beantown?
like Star Wars. Like, we gotta have a Star Wars reference. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. But, yeah, I forgot about that. Go ahead.
Yes, but you know how it's like the Emperor takes over all the galaxies and all the planets, and so you know what if Korra ruled all?
And the beans are helping with that?
Yeah, because they can portal jump.
Oh, that's true. So she can go to.
Well,
all
that
these
was
other
the reason
realms.
They kept them away from the humans was because when the humans had the beans, they went. They went through to all these different realms, and they brought their violence and their destruction. They, you know, what was it? We giants, we foster life. Humans destroy it. They conquer and pillage.
Let's do some speculation here, because they're clearly setting something up. And of course, we know that part of the town wants to go back home to Fairy Tale Land. We know that part of the people in Storybrooke want to stay. We know that Cora wants to have the beans also to jump through portals. Do you know what I think is going to happen? There is going to be a point somewhere at the end of this season where, you know, the people that want to go back are given permission to do so. They have the bean. they create a portal, and then at the very last moment, there is Korra, and she's like, ha, 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 you're not going back to Fairy Tale Land, you're going back to fill in the blanks, some other dimension, and that's going to be the big reveal at the end, and it's going to be the whole premise of the third season. It's going to be this, you know, they told us.
The Death Star.
It's going to be the whole leading up to Star Wars 7. But I mean, we've heard time and again from the writers that one scene where we saw all the different doors in that big circular room, that was going to be very important for season 2. Right. And so I'm thinking this is leading up. They want to go home and it's going to fail. Otherwise, it's not fun. If they get what they want, there's no story.
I think they're setting up for Wonderland again.
Yeah.
Because where is the Queen of Hearts? She is now in Storybrooke. She's got to go take him back to Queen of Hearts for her full power and control.
Yeah, and the Jabberwock reference.
A lot of Alice in Wonderland stuff going on.
What reference was that?
The Jabberwock that Jack had.
Okay, tell me about that because I missed that one.
I don't know the story of Alice in Wonderland well enough to reference it, but I know that the Jabberwocky is there because it's the 'twas brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wave. That's the poem from the Jabberwock poem.
Yeah, and there's the Tim Burton version of Alice in Wonderland. That's also by Disney, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and at the end of that movie, Alice slays the Jabberwocky.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Oh, no. Jack is Alice. Oh. So we may see Jack again.
No, I think Jack met Alice.
Yes, well, unless it was an old wise woman. So that's
it could
what
have been Korra.
Said.
My thought was that she met Korra.
Again.
But I'm looking at the Jabberwocky up on, and it's like a beast of some sort that is, and this picture has somebody slaying the Jabberwock.
Okay.
So.
Wow. You might get to see that too. All right, let's listen to Anton again.
How's the farmland here?
Pretty good. Why?
The stem is from a beanstalk. If I plant it, I should be able to grow some magic beans. And then you just might have a way.
Well, what's the verdict? Soil's got a nice loamy feel. A lot of minerals. The beans should grow well here. Only one problem.
What's that?
Korra. This is why she brought me. She wanted me to grow beans. So whatever she plans to do with them can't be good.
Then we won't let her get to them.
No one touches our crop.
Your crop? Thought you guys were miners.
Work is work. It's what we do. So what do you say? You up for some help?
And then, of course, he becomes one of the dwarves, which I thought was brilliant.
That's funny.
And awesome. Hi-ho.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and this is my you know, since I'm in Nebraska, I can say this and just, you know, a little hoity-toityness. So they have one seed, and they're plowing up an entire, like, swath of land for one seed. Like, all they need is a flower pot at this point.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a seed. It was a cutting from the main stalk.
Yes.
Right.
But it's magic.
It's a little cutting.
That's okay. It'll grow fast.
Hi-ho, hi-ho. It's gardening we go.
Well, now that's interesting, you, though, too, because they brought the giants and the dwarves, the big and the small, but they both are people who labor. Remember at the end, he said, I thought you were miners. Work is work. It's what we do. And they said that. They made a big point of that in the giants about the harvest. The harvest has value. The hard day's work has value, just like each person has value, or each giant has value. It's the labor that makes us who we are, not the fruit that it yields. And I thought of Deborah in a podcast a couple back where you talked about the value of hard work and work as a theme. Yes. You don't remember. Okay.
I said that. Wait.
It was probably one of those weeks where you had to work really hard.
But it was. It was about that they're similar in that respect, and I think that's why the axe works for Anton and not for David.
Charming is very disappointed that he didn't never got a pickaxe, right? With a name on it.
Yes.
I didn't get that. I was like, of all the things you can worry about in the world, why would you worry about getting a pickaxe?
Well, he feels a bit excluded, I guess. It's like you want to belong.
That's what its whole story has been. I think so.
It's all about family and about, you know, being part of someone. And I kind of love that story arc that this poor giant is surrounded by his family, but at the same time, he's always alone because they don't really accept him because he's too small. And now at the end of the episode, he's embraced by all these dwarves. And it's, they never thought it would happen. I love it.
Home is where our family is, Snow tells him.
Yes, true.
And that's home is where your family is. And clearly, Anton's found a new home, a new place to plant the seeds, a new land, and a new family.
Now, does this mean that Tiny, from now on, is going to be a regular on the show? That's going to make a lot of Lost fans very happy.
Ooh.
It could be, even though we may not see him as often, because it could be like the other dwarves.
Yes.
We only regularly see Leroy and occasionally Happy.
But then again, he's a very high-profile actor, and people love him.
Yeah.
And he's without
a
job.
What do they have for all this? You think about all of the high-profile actors they keep bringing
don't
in.
Don't you think it's like, hey, we had you on Lost. We heard your other series failed, you know, the ones with the Alcatraz Island. And so can we get like a discount on you appearing as a giant?
It might be.
Maybe that explains
why. Like
I kept thinking maybe that's why Cora wasn't in this episode much. I mean, she's kind of, I'm assuming she's an expensive actress to get, you know.
Very economizing.
Now, mentioning Lost again makes me, I had to go look this one up because I did not watch Lost, mm-hmm. so I'm not familiar with it. But how many of you noticed what airlines?
Yes.
Emma and Gold.
Yes. Atira Airways.
And that's the same airline?
There's a whole website.
Yes.
AC created this website in 2009.
Yes.
Yes.
That was very big.
Atira Airlines is the airline the group from Lost flew to Guam with, mm-hmm. and they crashed for the second time, you know, with the body of John Locke.
Right.
So that's the airline they flew with.
Very
Shelly,
cool.
You're going to have to go back and watch Lost
on
Netflix.
Oh, boy. Oh, no, I don't need another show.
You have to watch Lost. If you like Once Upon a Time,
at
you're...
At least the first, like, four or five seasons. After that, eh.
No. Every episode was brilliant. There is not a single thing on Lost that is flawed.
It was. I was hooked. I liked it.
There's one thing we forgot to talk about.
Okay.
And that's let me see the scene where Hook drops a Queen of Hearts,
yes.
and to summon Cora, and then Regina appears. Hello, Hook. I was like, that sounds awfully like Cora. And then she says, after he explains about that he let the giant loose, a giant in town to kill the prince. That is just a distraction we need. And I was wondering, a distraction for what? For finding the dagger?
You're getting into spoiler territory there.
Oh, I do? Okay, then I will
Well,
say.
Let's move over to spoilers. As usual, we're going to play at the end of our show, we're going to play the sneak peek at the next episode, number 14 of this second season. So for those of you that are going to leave us now because they want to stay spoiler-free, thank you so much for having listened to this episode. Again, happy Valentine's Day. It's also the beginning of Lent. Hope you have, if you're into Lent, I hope you have a great Lent. And if you want to find out more about Lent and what these Catholics do during Lent, you can always find shows about that on our main network website, which is sqpn.com. So sqpn.com. I do a weekly show called The Break, which is about movies and video games and sometimes about serious stuff as well, if I'm in the mood. But anyway, it's a fun show to do and hopefully also a fun show to listen to. Inge, you are my producer for many shows. We are currently on a hiatus when it comes to Secrets of the Hobbit. And but because the movie is out, the first movie, are we going to pick that one up or is it over and out for The Hobbit?
Oh, we are on hiatus. So whenever Peter Jackson posts a new, video blog, then we will be back reviewing that.
Excellent. Shelley and Lisa, what about your blog? Any Lenten-related posts lately?
Yes, actually, we just put up something about Lent being a time for giving, not giving up. And we hashtagged it with giving for 40. Or give, I'm sorry, Lisa's going to. Give for 40. Sorry.
Give for 40.
So you can follow us on Twitter as we.
Oh, 40, like in 40 days of Lent.
40 days of Lent.
Ah,
yes.
Makes sense.
Right.
Excellent.
So we have a several blog posts we're going to be rolling out over the 40 days of Lent about
right.
what we're experiencing and doing.
And Deborah, finally, our pilgrim podcaster. Any new episodes in the pipeline?
Not yet. I'm still working on it. Actually, I am going to start having discussions at churches here in a few weeks here in Nebraska, around the Midwest, about the Camino.
Nice.
So maybe I might be coming to a town near you. Who knows?
And in near you, you mean like Spain, Europe.
Well, yeah, that's always the hope.
Which is like super far away from where I live. But anyway, you Americans, you think everything in Europe is so close.
When you're from Texas, it is.
hop by if you're walking towards towards Santiago de Compostela. Anyway, that is our show for today. Now, here is the spoilerish sneak peek of episode number 14.
Your magic globe didn't give you an apartment number?
It doesn't work that way.
Do any of these names mean anything to you?
Well, names are what I traffic in, but sadly, no.
Here's your boy.
Well, but it could just be vacant.
You might traffic in names of magic, but I traffic in finding people who don't want to be found. And those sort of folks don't like to advertise their whereabouts. UPS package for 407.
Maybe you should have said FedEx.
It's running.
That favor you owe me. This is it. Get him to talk to me. I can't run.
Watch, Henry. I'll be back.
All right. Did you all see this sneak preview?
No.
I missed
you
it.
You did it? Oh, I did.
No, okay. I didn't see that long of one. That was great.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I just want to have one reaction to it. Again, I'll just make the rounds, speculation, whatever you want to say about this, and then we'll just close the show because we've been going on for quite a while. What about you, Lisa?
Well, from everything I've, from this, the episode and from what I've seen online, this next week is going to be a humdinger. It's going to be really involved. And I have to say, if you watch the spoiler, it sure looks like Neil or the Henry's dad.
Ooh.
It's Bale. Yep. I mean, you don't see his face, but oh, it looks like the same actor.
Yep. Deborah?
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, it's going to be finally revealed that, you know, Gold is Henry's grandfather, and it's, you know, big happy family reunion or unhappy family reunion,
wow,
probably. But I don't think he's not going to be very happy to see everyone. I really don't think so.
Shelley, final thoughts.
The preview you ran wasn't the same I saw, and the one I saw had Cora, Regina, and Hook in the library. And Cora was saying, if we possess the dagger, we control the Dark One. So the diversion and Gold being out of town. Yes, I think it's Bay and I think it's Neil. But I'm watching Cora and Regina and what they're doing.
All after the dagger. Inge, your final reaction.
Yeah, I recognize the fire escape of that apartment from the first episode of the season. So I'm convinced this is Neil. And so it will be very interesting to see Emma running after him, and when he turns around, I cannot wait to see the expression on her face.
It's going to be very, very interesting. Well, that wraps it up for this episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Again, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in every week. And if you want to help us out, get this show on the map, as they say, go over to iTunes and leave us a review or give it a couple of stars. That always kind of brings it back into the ratings and so other people can find it. Again, hope you enjoyed the show. Let us know your feedback, and see you soon next week on Secrets of Once Upon a Time.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.